Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Adventures in Asheville show, featuring Steve and Karen Wilson, owners and innkeepers of the Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast. Welcome, everybody. Today we are focusing on springtime. We're going to talk about gardens, music, art, all kinds of good stuff in Asheville, North Carolina. April is an awesome month. The flowers are popping out. The trees start getting a little greener. It's a good time to get hiking in the Blue Ridge Parkway areas like the Pisgah National Forest, go to all the gardens like the Biltmore. And of course, you know, we've got Steve and Karen on our show every month, every first Tuesday here. Steve and Karen, Mr. and Mrs. Wild, own and operate the Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast, which is in the Montfort Historic District in Asheville. Very historic place. I think there's like six, is it right? 600? Am I giving you like extra buildings, Karen? Mm-hmm. Welcome back. It's 600
No, you're
historic.
right.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's crazy.
It is. Montfort is a large historic district. Yes.
It's so historic. It has its own cemetery. I mean, that's pretty iconic. The cemetery too. Riverside Cemetery, which is what, a couple blocks behind the inn, is where Thomas Wolfe, the writer, and O. Henry are laid to rest, as well as many other people. So it's a really good place to go for a walk and just get some calm and quiet. But it's an exciting time of year. April in Asheville is awesome. And it rhymes.
I think so.
So at the end, and everyone, you can go to lion-rose.com. You've brought some special guests on the show, which you do pretty much all the time, which is always awesome to learn more about Asheville. But you have some special packages. You've got a springtime gardens package, right?
Absolutely. We have to promote gardens. I mean, like you said, beautiful time of year where everything starts turning green, all kinds of different flowers. It just, you know, everything starts blooming and it just makes you feel good.
And so you've got the Biltmore on there. The Biltmore estate is really like it's an iconic thing. That's a must do for Asheville. But I know that you and Steve and even the pups go into the gardens quite a bit. That's kind of your favorite hangout, it seems, at the Biltmore.
It is. We'll go several times a year just to see what they have, take pictures, and just enjoy it. It's just a nice walk for us to take the dogs around and have a nice, you know, couple hours away.
I know that also you've got a part of your package is Chimney Rock Park, which is a state park that we went to with you, but it was getting towards the end of summer, early fall. What's it like in the spring? It's got to be pretty.
It is. It's very pretty, and some of the little critters start coming out, so maybe you see some of the lizards and definitely see like more birds coming back through. And then down the road you got the Lake Lure Flowering Bridge, which you saw, and that's gorgeous too.
Yeah, I love that because it's, you know, a community of gardeners, master gardeners got together and said, you're not tearing this historic bridge down. And there are Monarch Way stations, so butterflies come through. I mean, that was amazing how many butterflies were there when we were there. It was incredible.
Definitely.
Yeah. And
it is a
just
beautiful
gives you an idea of what grows out there. And oh man, I wanted a garden. I was like, you know, by the time we got to the inn, I'm like, do you want me to do any work in your garden? But actually we had a beer instead. Cause then that's the other thing. When you check in at the Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast, Steve will pour you some home crafted brew, which goes, the brewskis go well with Asheville being the beer city USA. But the other part that's cool is this package for springtime is that you get to have a private breakfast on their porch. Ooh, that's nice. And sometimes that includes beer mimosas if it's on a Sunday, right?
Sure, absolutely. Or if somebody asks, we're always willing to pour them one.
When does the baseball start to happen, the Asheville Tourists?
So that is going to be April 5th is opening day. Yeah, we're also doing a beer and baseball package, which includes tickets to the game. And we have our own little beer koozies that people would get. So just something fun that we enjoy. It's, you know, local team that just a fun night out.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, let's get into some more garden power. And we're going to talk about some cultural history as well. Our first guest, one of your partners that you work with is Annie Kyla Bennett. Annie and Jack Henry put together, with some artist help, the Art Garden of Asheville. And you can go to artgardenavl.com to check this out. This is something that Nancy and I want to go to For sure. I'm excited. This is they represent what over 50 Asheville artists. They have house plants, and you know, April we start to think about Earth Day, and house plants are good for your house, are good for your health. So welcome to the show, Annie. How are you?
Hi, thanks. I'm doing great.
I love this that you have fine art and foliage, right? So that's the perfect way to celebrate spring is get some art and get some plants. Plant power. Very nice. How long have you guys been there?
just a little over 4 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, we
And
celebrated our 4 year anniversary in December.
wow. So do
Cool.
you've got all kinds of artists, right? So they're all kind of regional artists and local artists there?
Yeah, they're all local re and regional, like Western North Carolina artists. And we do kind of have like a, like visually, there's a little bit of a cohesion with like a lot of the artists that are here do kind of make nature inspired art. But then also our main focus is on creating space and opportunities for artists from historically excluded communities. So we represent a lot of BIPOC artists and a lot of LGBTQ plus artists and have like a really
Cool.
diverse array of styles, and it's a really nice collection of different types of work.
Awesome. That's awesome. And you know, I was going on your website and looking, it's like you've got a little bit of everything in there. I mean, it's like if you want jewelry, it's there. If you're looking for, you know, woodwork, it's there. I mean, sculpture, I mean, a little bit ceramics, everything represented. Wow.
Yeah, it's
Wow.
really
So,
fun creating and putting the different work together and finding ways to make it all flow, and it's really awesome. I love that
do
part of
you
my
think
job.
the other part of
Cool.
Asheville is like, you know, and I'm looking forward for our next guest also, Dwayne Barton, to join us from Hood Huggers International, but to talk about the fact that Asheville is not like, you know, everybody thinks about Appalachian culture, right? But Appalachian culture in Asheville area is so diverse culturally, but then also just everyone's backgrounds. So do you feel like you represent that more than here is your typical Appalachia that people may kind of have branded in their brains over the years?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's there's so much, you know,
Cool.
even the music culture is so diverse. Wouldn't you say, Karen? I know you guys know the music culture really well. It's a little bit of
Definitely.
everything.
A little of
Yeah.
everything. Definitely. Yep.
But
Something for
and
everyone.
also important to keep the actual cultural roots alive too of the area. Musically and
Absolutely.
artistically, the folk art and everything. So that's really cool. I'm going to bring Dwayne Barton on the show, and he is the founder of Hood Huggers International, which I believe all started by having a peace garden that they put together back in 2008. You can go to hoodhuggers.com. So welcome to the show, Dwayne. How are you?
I'm good. We started the garden in 2003,
Oh.
and it was because of the war in Iraq and the war on drugs that was happening in the neighborhood at the time. And the garden was supposed to be, we wanted to create a safe space in the neighborhood where people can come and relax and feel safe. And when it was drugged out, it was also trashed out. So we just to try to restore the neighborhood, we picked up the trash, and that's the trash. We used the trash to create the park, the
Oh,
sculpture garden,
wow.
number of
That's
different
so cool.
artists, and then of course we want to do the gardens, and so our goal was really to highlight the native trees and native plants, grow food, and just create a very unique space in a very traumatic area. The Burton Street community at that time was in the wars, on the war on drugs, so it was not a safe place to be.
And then putting in the beautification, I think, and keeping it through the native plants as well is something really important to show what you have, right? The actual natural roots of a community, the nature side of it. And a garden does, you know, just having some tranquility in a safe space, it's where people can actually start to connect and maybe have a conversation that they weren't having before. Did you find that happen with the garden when you first started putting it together and actually cleaning up what sounded like a like almost a dead space? We've seen that in Nancy and I, my mom and co-host and co-publisher here, we travel the country documenting parks and public lands. And we were only doing national parks at the beginning, and now we do absolutely all parks. And I think some of the most amazing and inspiring parks are when communities get together, organizations like yours, nonprofits, but getting people together to take a space that was what they call like a brown space, like maybe it had a gas station on it before or a railroad station. So the actual terrain is got a little toxicity and it has to be reclaimed and rehabbed. But people start to congregate in those spaces and not in a positive way. And then these, you know, a community, gardeners, people like that, kind of like the flowering bridge we were talking about, get together and say, let's clean this up and make something nice. There's a shift. And what we've seen is that community pride starts to take over and win versus the negatives. Did you see that when you started this?
Yeah, all of that is true, but it also takes time. It's not a metric, and you have to be consistent. And we could have stopped 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So I think just being real consistent about it and having a true vision about what you want the space to do for people when they come. Now, I mean, our particular focus, because we was started because of war, we have a specific focus on talking about social justice and environmental issues that's affecting everybody. And our goal is to, use the art as the therapy and the message, but then inspire the people to go to work after they leave the place, to be inspired enough to go try to do something about it, which led us to even start the tour company, because one of the tour companies we with the hood tours we started is because so many people was coming to the space. We did not promote the space. The space was designed just for the neighborhood, and that was our initial purpose and only purpose. And but more people was coming here from all over the world to check it out, so it nudged us to say, hey, maybe you ought to get into this multi, I think it's a billion-dollar tourism industry that your city is in, and try to holler these African American communities that's historically been not in the picture, not being discussed or not being highlighted. And what else we got in the space is historical African American landmarks that's been torn down. That's another reason we got into the space, was tearing down a lot of the historical African American landmarks in the city. So we would go get a piece of it, the sign, the door, the window. So even though that place is not here anymore, we can still tell that story.
Ooh, that's
Cool.
important.
That's cool.
Yeah, because things happen in neighborhoods, gentrification and things like that happen, and we lose those, you know, the stories of the people of the place. You know, in San Diego, California, North San Diego, there's a community called Carlsbad. It's very beautiful on the coast, you know, beach condos and you know, it's very la-di-da. But then there's the side of it, the barrio side, which is of the Mexican people. And our friends started a Mexican market there, went through their many generations in the barrio, and they do have the best tacos and enchiladas, burrito. I don't care what it is, whatever comes out of their kitchen is insanely good. And they even help, they give kids jobs at the, you know, at the end of the day, kids go and learn how to cook and they learn how to, you know, all those skills you need, you know. But their food is phenomenal. But this, the sisters, and you know, Ofis has sadly passed over the last couple of years, started their own museum highlighting the history of their neighborhood, their barrio neighborhood, so that they didn't lose it. Because when beach condos and things like that come in, that's one of the first things you start to lose your cultural roots and the people in the place. And they did that. And people now go from, you know, you're going to Carlsbad, you go to Ophi's, go to Lola's Mexican Market, and go across the street to the museum and learn, you know, you can enjoy the food, but where did that food come from? Who had those recipes, you know? So it's a popular highlight for those, who are interested in that. So I think it's kind of similar, Duane, with what you're doing, is getting people to understand who was there and still are, for your neighborhood. So tell everybody about the tours. Like what, because you get to tell them a little bit about the neighborhood. Do you stick to the same neighborhood? Are you walking, going in a bus? What happens with those?
Well, the goal is to try to protect neighborhoods through the tours by telling the story and highlighting the different organizations, individuals that's trying to preserve their community, highlighting the green spaces in those areas as a way of protection and a way to create, monetize it. How do you monetize? How can we take the same model that has made Biltmore the place it is all over the world and do that? That same run, that same pattern for the historically African American neighborhoods, especially because they've been marginalized and the threats of gentrification and all the other things that's affecting these communities a lot more often. And so it's like, so how do you use a business to really restore and create the conditions that that area would thrive. So it's designed to connect with the young people in the neighborhood, to have them be the ones, the maintenance people, to keep up the spaces that we highlight on tour. It's designed to tap into the artists, performers, and visual artists. And it's also designed to tap into the elders of those particular communities. So because they hold the stories. The stories that a lot of people haven't heard. So how do you take those combination of things and create a very engaging and thought-provoking and like you say, what are you going to do after the tour? So we have a walking tour, we have a driving tour, we have a old school convertible tour. We got an electric. We also partner with down in the River Arts District under the Rad Hub, and we also got an electric bike and outdoor hiking tour that we partner with. It's all
Oh,
designed to
cool.
tell more stories about this region.
Cool. I love that. I love that. I want to go over to Annie. Annie, do you feel you're doing the same thing over at the Art Garden with all the artists being there and our artists there demonstrating it all? And, I know you seem to have a lot of events that are going on too. So in that way, through demonstration and events, does the conversation get wider, broader, like a broader audience to understand also the LGBTQ community, the arts community of Asheville?
I would not go so far to say that we are doing what Dwayne is doing. I mean, they're amazing. I'm very inspired by the work that they're doing. And yeah, trying to contribute to that type of effort for sure. And yeah, absolutely. There's a much broader perspective represented in the work, in the art here and in the community here as well. And at our events. And we've been hosting like art talks and also different just like community meetups around different topics too, and yeah, having some really great conversations around that.
That's really cool. I mean, I want to go back to Karen on this with at the inn at the Lion and the Rose, bed and breakfast. I know, with Nancy and I mean, how many times have we been at the inn? It's all about that
Lost
beer.
track.
No, I'm kidding, but we know. And we've met your guests and it just seems to me there's yes, the guests that come that yes, you do some of the iconic things, right? Smoky Mountain National Park, Blue Ridge Parkway, the Biltmore, the Arboretum, the River Arts District is awesome, the downtown, the food. I mean, look, there's I mean the list this is why we have a show every first Tuesday. We can have like a show every day and not be done with Asheville and the surrounding areas, but from us as travelers and from running travel publications and meeting the people at the inn, I know people want to have an authentic experience. They need to do the iconic things, yes.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, when someone goes to a place, it's Now they're, there's the term transformational travel. People sometimes travel and volunteer to get closer into the community so that they're not just taking as a tourist, but to also give back. But then there's these ones that are transformational, aha moments. I can already guess, I bet that Dwayne has had someone go on a tour and found some kind of personal connection, right? That aha moment, and maybe wants to do something similar in their community, or maybe it's a family connection, who knows? Or like, hey, I need to do this, So these transformative experiences, art is a huge part of that, and plants just make
Definitely.
everybody happy. We need plants to breathe. So do you see that with your guests going to both of these, I want to say destinations, but experiences is what they are.
Experience. Oh yeah. That's
Do you
what
see people
that's
change
what we're
when they
always
come
looking
in?
for.
Yeah. Do you see guests
Definitely.
change?
People definitely seem more inspired and motivated once they hear background stories and same thing, like you said, they do want to kind of get involved. So like anybody who comes back as a repeat guest is always looking for a different experience, something that they can learn, something that maybe they can give back. Definitely the community here offers so much more than so many other places, and I think that's why we're all drawn to it so much. And that's why we're such a great community working together. You know, we all just bond.
Yeah, people travel, then they find a community, then they become part of the community, and then they either keep coming back or eventually moving there. Dwayne, I wanted to go to you again with, and everyone, hoodhuggers.com is the website. Have you found that transformative switch happen with people that have gone through the Hoodhuggers experience?
Yes, and I mean we designed it that way because we know what happened to this neighborhood happened to historically marginalized neighborhoods all over the country. So, but we're trying to what our experiment is okay, now what do we do? How do we restore the place again? Because I'm in a historically African American neighborhood, segregated, once segregated African American neighborhood that was a once thriving African American neighborhood with several businesses, arts, culture. It was the place to be, and it was like that all over the city in these segregated areas. But that was wiped out. That was destroyed. That was destroyed from a number of different reasons. Policy, like federal policy, destroyed a lot of these places. So, but now, how do you try to rebuild them again? And we build them in a way, different than before. So we're on a mission to inspire people. And our work for over the past 20 years, we hope is in will inspire people to say, oh, if we can do it, if we can go from one of a crack infested neighborhood to repair and then create all these different things for the community at the whole community, you can too.
I love that. I love that.
I
Now
do
you've got
too.
the gardens and the peace gardens, which I love too. I wanted to go over to Annie again because you've got all these house plants in there. So there are these the artists bringing them in, or are they, from the actual gallery itself and plant shop itself, or how does that? And you've got rare ones too. What, do you have orchids? Should we talk
Yeah,
about
there's
the don't steal their shop. Just
a
kidding. People go after orchids, the orchid hunters. Yeah, tell us about your plants.
Sure. Yeah, it started out just plants that I was propagating myself. But then it really kind of blew up and grew to be a bigger opportunity to kind of support the gallery. Because we were like, yeah, the plant sales are kind of like a cushion that helps us pay rent and take care of overhead. And so we have expanded it quite a lot. And I work with a couple wholesale greenhouses, but I also have my own greenhouse that we propagate in as well. So like in the upstairs space, a lot of the mother plants live. So there'll be like really big plants in there, kind of creating the vibe, and we make babies from those all the time.
There's a nursery going on.
Yeah.
Spring
Cool.
process
Yeah.
happening.
We have
That's
some
awesome.
cases of like around too, where the more rare things are that are really beautiful.
So they're all house plants. Now, because of all the artists, do you have house plants that are potted using artist pottery and
Yes,
ceramics?
we do. Yeah, and we
Cool.
have several different ceramic artists making different styles of pots, and yeah,
That's
that's a
cool.
big part of it too.
Yeah, the right pots are important. It's all part of it, you know? And house plants, and I feel like people are always like, oh, I don't have a green thumb and I can't, you know, keep a house plant alive. And I think it's like I don't, it's just not that hard if you find the right sunlight place, you know, the right sunlight and occasionally fertilizer and make sure that you don't overwater them. I think it's more overwatering than anything with house plants,
It
depending
depends
on the
on the
plant.
plant. But
Yeah.
yeah. So
It's
often.
but there's a connection. Do you talk to your plants? I'm not being weird. I'm like
I
that, so
do. I definitely
I
talk to
knew
my
it.
plants a lot. And
Oh,
a lot of
that's
inspiration
cool.
from them too. And
Do you play music to them?
yeah, there's always music playing, and yeah, I think they like
I
it.
do too. I do too. And speaking of music,
I
Duane,
think
you've
so.
got music coming up over at Hood Huggers, the Blue Note Junction. Tell us about that. Is he still there? Duane, are you there?
Yeah, and you was talking about plants. I want to we got a plant sale here March 23rd in the Peace Garden and April 27th. We have a we st we do a plant sale every year,
Oh,
twice, two
cool.
plant sales every year to sell flowers and vegetables. Yeah, the Blue Note Junction, Blue Note Junction is a larger version of the Peace Garden we created in 2003, and this the Peace Garden was designed to create a place that would help absorb trauma and inject inspiration. But the Blue Note is designed to do the similar thing. We want hot tubs and saunas. We're gonna have a greenhouse, a maker space. It's a health and business incubator. What we know is in the
Cool.
communities we work in, they've been traumatized, and it's like, how do you get people to heal and rebuild at the same time? So we want to create the infrastructure that allows them to do that, like from therapists to, like I say, a hot tub, to have that on site. So if you're an entrepreneur and you need that infrastructure, you feel you're ready, the infrastructure is there. If you need to talk to a therapist or you need to take a plunge, you need is there. Because we want, in order to communities to rebuild, we gotta have the infrastructure that would support that.
Yeah. And
Cool.
listen, every entrepreneur needs a therapist. I
Yeah.
don't know, physically or mentally, we all need it. That, you know, all entrepreneurs need some kind of solace because it's hard. It's not getting easier to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I mean, there's tools and there's things to do, but I think it's also really good to have some kind of some community support for entrepreneurs. And I feel like we need to get back to that and supporting the small business. And I think what you're doing, Dwayne, is really doing that, you know, helping, you know, entrepreneurs. We can't lose that spirit, you know. We really can't. And we gotta protect the smaller people. And I think, Annie, what you're doing too is you're supporting the artist, which is the individual, the independence. And oftentimes don't always want to do the business side, but it's like, okay, I can have an outlet for sales. So you're really helping the artist community, which is a, it's so important because, you know, galleries are not the, they, that's not always the easiest thing. I'm just saying, you know, so do you feel that you're helping artists through what you're doing in that way?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the main goal.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
yeah,
that's so hard.
it's definitely, yeah, like it's hard to find opportunities to have your work in front of people, and then it's way harder to even, yeah, to have it, and then you don't have to be there. So yeah, it's been really cool to be able to provide that for so many artists, and that kind of like monthly stability.
That's
And
cool.
It's nice. We've been, since we opened, we've been able to expand the ways that we're able to support artists too, because we have the retail shop where we have about 65 local artists who have, they each have like their own individual booth space in there. And then now we also have 10 working studios where artists can make their work.
Wow.
And the event space, we've been doing tons of workshops and performances and other, and monthly group gallery exhibits also. So there's like lots and lots of different ways that artists can plug in depending on how their work works and how their schedule is. And it's been nice to be able to create that support together.
And you're doing a community garden too, right? Isn't that also something
Yeah,
you're looking at
yeah.
for the future? Cool.
We have a garden space, and we've been, each year we've done a little bit of different things with it. Like 1 year we were really focused on dye plants. The first couple of years we were mostly just building the soil. But every spring I've gotten all my starts from the Peace Gardens, and they're amazing. But
Oh,
so yeah,
wow.
this year we've got a little team of artists really that from the gallery really focused on it. And so the plan is to, yeah, just create a little food bank for our artists here, and then whatever's left over we're planning on putting in the free fridges and Southside.
Nice.
Cool.
Nice. And you have refreshments for people when they come in too, right? That they can purchase.
Yeah, we recently had a friend's cafe move in upstairs in the event space. The Pot Stirred is here, and they're an adaptogen bar. They have like
Cool.
it's a coffee shop, but they also have mushroom elixirs and different kinds of herbal and plant beverages.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool. Duane, anything else we should know from the Hood Huggers?
Well, we just creating this network of good, and get more people engaged. Well, I do like to mention the new book we wrote called The CAP, the Community Accountability Plan, and it talks about how do we pull together, people, organization, and connect it to policy that can make the needed change in our communities around the region. So that, and it just talks about our story and how we got started, and then what we learned, and then now what can we do to help transform our communities.
Oh, I like that. Well, I
Cool.
want to come see you. I know Nancy and I, when we get back to Asheville, we're coming to see both of you because we have, I mean, how could we not? You know? This, I think you're both doing amazing work, and man, Karen, you and Steve really have some good partners that we work with on projects. This is fantastic. So everyone, for Hood Huggers, go to hoodhuggers.com. And then also for the Art Garden, go to artgardenavl.com. Thank you so much, Annie.
Thank you. This is so
Oh,
fun.
we'll see you soon. And let's go play different
Thank you
music to your
both.
plants. Yeah, let's do it. And thank you, Duane. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
All right, thank you. All
Thank
right.
you. And
Yep,
thank you,
thank you,
Karen.
everyone.
Thank you. Yeah, Karen, everyone, lion-rose.com. And when you get there, you may roar and Steve will give you a beer. So that's how it works, right? But
Absolutely.
everyone, lion-rose.com is a place to be. And we're here every first Tuesday. So keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thank you all for joining us. Take care. Thank you for joining us here on Big Blend Radio's Adventures in Asheville show. Learn more about the Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast, which is located in the historic Montford district of Asheville, North Carolina. Go to lion-rose.com. You can keep up with our Big Blend radio shows at bigblendradio.com.